Broadcasting live from Old Crow Smokehouse in Wrigleyville, the Captain J. Hood Morning Show for opening day here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
So Jed Hoyer is here, the president of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs. We're at Old Crow. We're excited. Jed, you got to feel like, man, the dark times, we had to navigate some things, and like you're on the press of taking a step. Do you feel that way?
I do. That's what I've been saying, is I feel like we're on the front edge of something really special, and I think today sort of starts that. So, yeah, I definitely drove into work with some real optimism today, and I feel like the fans feel that, and the players feel that as well. So it's all good.
So how was everything when you went out and you're, you know, trying to get Dansby Swanson or Trey Turner, one of these guys, and they go, well, you guys have been, you know, going through this rebuild. Like, what do you tell them? Do you let them in on your plan?
Always. Yeah, I mean, I think I said that about Dansby in the press conference. Like, one of the things I really liked about him was that he was interviewing us. Like, why should I do this? Why should I come to you? which is great. You don't want a guy that, you know, just pay me the most money. He wanted to know, how are we going to win? Because that's what he did at Vanderbilt. That's what he did with the Braves. So that, I thought that part was great. First of all, I think it's always good to have to sell yourself. I think that when you're talking about, you know, your team and what you're going to do, I think that sort of sharpens the tool to have to go through that sales process and talk through it. And I actually really enjoy that. I think it's, that part is really good. The other thing I would say is that this place sells itself. Like, I don't, we've had a lot of success. Like, we bat a very high percentage on the free agents we really target. I'm humble enough to realize, like, I am a pretty good salesman, but this place is a lot better salesman than I am, you know, and players want to be here. They know, you know, great city, great ballpark, amazing in the summer. I don't consider this summer yet, amazing in the summer. And, you know, I think that, you know, what we've done over the last 12 years to make it a place where players feel really comfortable is really good. So that reputation is around the league. So any of those stories that we were no longer a desirable place, no, we have a lot of interest here, and I think it really helps us to be able to recruit free agents.
Jed, what does opening day mean to you?
It's kind of rebirth. You know, I think that I think the beauty of baseball is every day, or almost every day, and this has become sort of a part of the fabric of everyone's life for the, you know, this 6 or hopefully 7 months, and this is the first step in that. My career record on opening day is horrendous, and so I try to look at this as a, like, it's an enjoyable day, sort of a New Year's type of thing where it's back. And, you know, for me, there's nothing better than knowing we're gonna have box scores for the next 6 months. I know that's the same for a lot of fans. So it's a celebration of why we love baseball and the fact that it's back. And, you know, in most places it's the beginning of spring. In this place, it's a little different than the beginning of spring because we got 6 more weeks of bad weather, but yeah. I do think that's how I try to look at it, and it's fun to see everyone, you know, feeling that way, feeling like this is something, you know, the first step in a long race.
Jed, what is the biggest difference in the makeup of this year's roster versus last year's?
I'd say first of all, I just think the group of guys we brought in, just a great group of guys, an awesome vibe all spring. Just high, you know, all the guys were high quality makeup guys with very good reputations from the places they came from. So that part's been amazing. I do think that, you know, let's be honest, last couple of years, I think people have been kind of waiting for the deadline, or, you know, looking at it and saying, like, if things don't go almost perfectly, then we're going to have to make some moves to the deadline. So I think even on opening day, there was a little bit of waiting till the middle of the summer to see what happens. And we don't have that, and I think that's a really great feeling. I think there's a lot more excitement in that clubhouse, and I think that really helps the vibe of spring training.
So I had a chance to spend significant time with Pete Crow Armstrong and with Matt Mervis. Sat down and talked with these guys. Started looking through some of the deals that you made, and it's easy to go, hey, they sent $177 million on Dansby Swanson and $68 million on Tyone. I think the thing that is really not given enough credit is Kevin Alcantara is a top 100 prospect. Now, again, he's got to prove it at this level. That's in the Rizzo deal. Pete Crow Armstrong, that's your best prospect. That's in the Baez deal. Hayden Wisniewski was an amazing trade. Again, he's got to continue to prove it. Do you feel like we've made some really good moves? People just don't know it yet.
I do, yeah. I mean, I think those deals were really painful, and obviously there's a lot of backlash for those deals. I do think that, you know, when you look back on those trades, I try to look at it as the totality of the talent. I mean, I think that individually guys have to prove themselves, you know, and the guys have to come up here and actually do it. I think that's the key. But I think that when you look at the totality of the talent we brought in, I think we were able to really change the young player talent and make the organization more healthy. And I think that's the thing that for when I took over, you know, we were at the end of this run, we got really expensive. Our system wasn't where it needed to be. And I think right now, you know, obviously we spent a lot of money this winter. We still have payroll flexibility going forward. And we have a group of young players that's coming up. I think that's the key for me is, like, you know, yes, some of these trades I think will work out exceptionally well, which of them I think is hard, and I never want to put too much pressure on prospects. But the totality of the talent, I think, is really, really terrific.
What's I want to talk about your roster versus the rest of the National League Central. Cap and I were saying before we got here, I feel like you're building towards something. If it's not this year, then you're building toward sustainability, being the playoffs every year. So how do you look at your roster versus the rivals in the National League Central?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's going to be a really fun division in the next couple of years. I mean, I think, you know, both Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are still a little bit in the building process, but they have a lot of young talent as well. And Cardinals' offense is phenomenal. I think I'd probably put their position playing group up against almost anyone in baseball. And they're listen, you know, one of the things I learned in Boston, when you have the Yankees there, they're always there. And that's kind of your measuring stick all the time. And, you know, the Cardinals are for us. And, you know, we got past them for a pretty long period of time. And, you know, right now that's the goal, is to get back and pass them. But right now, I think, you know, they're clearly the team to beat in the NL Central. They should be. And then the team they're playing today, I mean, these guys have been really consistent. Their starting pitching is always excellent. You know, the first 2 days, we're going to face, you know, two of the better starters in the National League. And as long as you have that kind of starting pitching, you're always going to be a competitive team.
The system, and this is not a shot at what went on the first 10 years. You won the flipping World Series that I remember Theo saying to me, you need to drop a little weight, work out, we'll get it right, but it's going to take a little time. You got there. The greatest single thing I've ever covered or cheered for in my life was that night in November in Cleveland. That said, the system and the way you're doing business has changed. I looked through your system last night, and I'm like, boy, not every guy's going to make it, but there's a deep pool of guys, and the more you have, the better chance they're going to make it. What are you doing differently since Tom handed you the key?
Well, I mean, I think we're doing a lot of things very similar. I mean, I think I am really proud of what we did. I think we, you know, what we didn't do well enough, I think, is that we, you know, we didn't evolve when we were on top. You know, I think in 2015 we had the number one system in baseball. We won 97 games, and we won the World Series in 16. And at that moment, we should have been evolving our player development the way things were going. You know, with the way we're doing things now, we didn't do that. I think that, you know, probably given some of the success we had, we didn't feel like we needed to make those changes. And I think we paid for it. And I think, you know, winning is sort of a lagging indicator on your farm system health and on your organizational health. You know, I think that we won in 15, 16, 17, went to the three NLCSs in a row because of what we did 12, 13, 14. And I think that when we were on top, we didn't evolve quickly enough. And I think that we paid for that. You know, and I think we got to a place where we knew the transition was going to be difficult from all those guys. We couldn't get those guys signed to extensions, and that was challenging. But we should have had a group ready after that. And whether it was through trades, whether it was through, you know, poor drafting, we didn't have that. And so that's been my biggest focus, is how do we just push player development as hard as we possibly can and get to a place where we're getting the most out of every player. And I know we're on the right track. I think we'll see the seeds of that a little bit this summer. And I think that starting this summer, probably towards the end of the season and going forward, we'll be able to break in a number of players every year. And that has to be the goal. It has to be have it, you know, double A and triple A stacked, be able to bring guys up and not be relying on free agency so much. You know, that's the hardest part of free agency. I don't want to be this active. You know, we had to fill so many holes the last 2 years based on what the amount of talent we lost, you know, and when you're trying to do that in free agency every year, it's so difficult. And you know, I look at the best organizations can go into an off season and be like, okay, we need to get these two positions, be totally focused on a couple things, you know, not as wide a focus.
Guys.
And so, you know, hopefully over the next couple of years, we can get to that place where we're, you know, much more payroll efficient with the young players and be able to be more targeted in free agency.
Yeah, how difficult is that push and pull, though? Cap and I talked about this all the time. We'll just use the Dodgers for an example, right? They have veteran players, and they can bring up young players and be able to plug and play. How difficult is that for you to be able to say, okay, we got these veterans in here because that's good for the locker room, but yet we have these young players that we want to develop and win? That's a lot at one time, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the biggest challenge. And what you want to do is get to a place where you're kind of breaking in maybe one starting pitcher a year, maybe, you know, one everyday player. Like, it's really hard. What we did in 2015 is not recommended, you know, and I think that was, I think we spoiled a lot of people with that, with bringing up, you know, three or four guys at the same time and having them all contribute. Normally, you got to do kind of one guy at a time because otherwise, you know, the ups and downs of young players are real, you know, and if you can dedicate, you know, a spot to development, you can't dedicate three if you're trying to win, and I think that's the challenge.
It looks from my seat like what fans have said, God, I don't want another rebuild twice in 10 years. It looks like because of the depth of the system, which is by design, whether it's Ben Brown in the David Robertson deal or Hayden Wisniewski in the Efros deal, when that one crossed, that was the one I went, whoa, because Efros was a really good pitcher for you, but he's 28, he's a reliever, and you got a starter that now is part of your rotation for the next 7 years. You control him, or 6 years.
Yeah, that was a hard deal to do because, you know, we had developed Scott. You know, he's such a wonderful kid. We had, you know, he dropped down and had so much success, and you know, he was the most popular guy we had last year at the deadline.
Guys calling you? Is that guy available?
Yeah. We had four teams in the AL East trying to get him at the same time, and it was because he had amazing pitch data. He was performing really well. He dominated right-hand hitters, and you know, all the teams in that division needed that. And we didn't go into the deadline thinking we were going to trade him at all, but it became clear as we sort of got a couple of days out, like, we have to do this. I mean, his value is so high, and he's a reliever, you know, and we, you know, where we are right now as an organization, I was thinking, like, we need, like, when you're building the house, you need, like, the big pillars, the big blocks to build it. I feel like a reliever like Scott Efros is like a painting on the wall, right? He's a finishing touch, but he's not the structure of the house.
But the team you traded him to was at that point.
Exactly. So they're doing it because they need that player who, you know, he's the painting that goes in the accoutrement, right? But he's not the big building block of a house. And like Wisniewski to us was a starting pitcher that we can control for a long time. And so anyway, that was why we did the deal. But it was a hard one to do because we're trading a guy that was really valuable, has 5 years of control. It's just that position to us was more of a finishing touch than a building block.
So we're never going to make a trade with a major league team. We're never going to have your job. That said, when that is going on and your phone is ringing and it's whoever it is, the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Orioles, Toronto, whoever is calling you, do you call back and say, Brian Cashman, okay, if you want him, I got to have that guy because in your division, somebody else has a better offer than you currently have. How does the trade mechanism go?
So I am a believer that you always want to be really focused in what you're asking for. You know, that people will push different players on you, that will you guys talk about this guy or that guy. I always want to be like, hey, this is the guy we want. And then, you know, he was a guy we had targeted. We've done some deals with them over the years. I think Brian's wonderful to deal with. He's very focused on what he wants. He runs a great organization, and he's always, he knows what he needs to do to try to win the World Series. And so I think that's the when you're a seller, you know, you try to maximize the value of those players that are really valuable to contenders. And Efros was the number one guy last year. I mean, we got so much interest in him because of the things he did really well are exactly where you need a pennant race.
Chet Hoyer with us here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app as we broadcast live from Old Crow Smokehouse here in Wrigleyville. Just a conversation about David Ross, not a question. So the hire of David Ross, originally I thought, here's a guy here that's been a catcher, bullpen guy, so the pitching should be taken care of because he wasn't always a starting catcher. He was in the bullpen, so he knows about bullpen and knows about pitching. Could you tell me your thoughts on David Ross? What do you like about the job that he's done? The pitching is one thing, but it might be something else we're missing.
I love working with him. He's awesome energy every day. He's just a person that people gravitate towards, and you can't define that, but everyone wants to be around him. Huge presence and personality, but also holds people accountable. He's a real leader in that sense where he earns your trust, and then he'll tell you how to get better, and I think the players really respect that. He tries to improve every year, every day. He spends the offseason talking to the R&D staff about things he can do better. So he's not he's not dogmatic in how he thinks about it. He knows he has to constantly evolve. I think he and Andy Green make a great pairing. They constantly talk about the game, constantly talk about strategy. I know he'll continue to evolve and get better over the years, but I think we've got a guy right now that I couldn't be happier that he's our manager. And when I go down there today and go see him, it's a wonderful feeling to know that the team's in good hands and also know that the players really respect him.
I know you can't talk about players on other teams, but yeah. Do you feel like you've kept your powder dry to an extent that if next winter a certain guy hits the market, whoever that is, and it's going to cost, we saw what these deals are going for, $350, $450, that you have the ability to make that move if you feel it's the right thing for your team?
Yeah, 100%. And that's something that is really important. That I think when you talk about organizational health, there was a time when our payroll did get
bloated.
We got to the end of what we could do, and you couldn't make those moves, and we're not there, which is a really good feeling. And when I look at where we are, I'm excited about where we are, but I also know there's definitely some impact offensive potential that we could use. Certainly, you could always use front of rotation starters, and hopefully last time we did this, we went out and we spent a lot of money on one top rotation starter. We traded for another, and then Kyle Hendricks was almost a third. And so, talent like that comes from different places. When we traded for Jake Arrieta, we didn't think he was going to win a Cy Young. And so sometimes when we talk about impact, sometimes impact comes by paying for impact, like John Lester. Sometimes it comes from places you don't necessarily expect. And certainly my hope is that we can do both like we did last time.
Jay, what's the latest on Suzuki?
He is playing defense in minor league games. He's taking batting practice every day, running the bases. I think this weekend he will start to play or start to take live at-bats in Arizona. And then hopefully once he does that for 3-4 days, he'll probably go out on a rehab assignment. So he's doing well, knock on wood. He's progressing well, and hopefully he's here in not too long.
I was telling my partner, the World Baseball Classic was fun. You wouldn't watch any of it because you were so ready for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and it was March Madness. I love baseball. It's my favorite sport.
But he's got 5 TVs in his basement, just like I do. We could watch multiple things. We could watch March Madness. We could watch the World Baseball Classic.
NBA.
Bowling. You can watch all those things if you want to, right?
It was awesome theater. I thought the way it ended was central casting with Ohtani against Trout. I felt terrible for Seiya because the Japanese team was so good. And I think I saw some stat 95% of the TVs in Japan were tuned in.
It was insane.
And so you think to yourself how much he felt like he was missing out on not being able to do that. You want to show out for your country, right? They want to be on the field, and he would have been batting third or fourth for them. And so I did feel really badly that he couldn't participate. They had this jersey, and he's like, I felt like I was dead.
I also love that you got the extension done with Nico Horner. It allows him at 29 to be a free agent, which I'm sure was important to him.
Horner fans.
But you also got 2 years of ARB. He's going to get paid, and you bought a year of free agency.
Yeah, it was. We went through a million structures, but Nico knew and his agents knew that we definitely wanted to get something done. And he's top of the scale in terms of people and, makeup. I've been around. I mean, just an incredible kid, wants to get better every day, wants to be a great teammate, be a leader, and I think this gives him the chance to do that. And, when we did this deal, is that don't often do an extension where you say, hey, hopefully this is the first of many, but, we couldn't get aligned on a longer deal, in part because he's had such a weird progression. I mean, he shouldn't have been in the big leagues in 19, but had to be.
He had a call when he's laying on his mom's couch.
2020, he should have been in the minor leagues, but we had COVID, so there was no minor league. So he's had a weird progression, but felt like this extension was a good first step, and hopefully he's here for a long time.
Jed, lastly, what is your message to Cub fans that are listening globally to our show? What do you want to tell them?
To me, we're on the front edge of something really special. I think that we should be really competitive this year, but I think when you sort of look at where things are in terms of our young talent in the big leagues and controllable talent and where we are with our minor league system, where we kind of are with all of our scouting mechanisms, I think we're in a really good place right now. And I think that I think this summer, people are going to see the all those seeds we've been planting for the last few years. I think people are going to start to see what's happening in the minors. It's going to be obvious. I think what's happening up here with our young players is really obvious. And like I said, I think we're on the front edge of something really great.
I talked to Matt Mervis, and he said, honest to God, he said, I didn't get drafted. He goes, it's only a 5-round draft because of COVID. He said, I'm furious. I take 24 hours and go walking by myself. I don't want my parents around. He goes, and then I woke up Saturday morning. I got my laptop out. He said, and I went through the salaries on SpotTrack of every team. He said, you can ask my mom. I wrote down two teams. I said, it's the Cubs or the Yankees. The Yankees are trying to win right now. The Cubs are going to rebuild a little bit. Rizzo's going to the Yankees. I'm going to the Cubs. Is that how it went down from your end?
Well, so it's funny. That was one of the most fun days I've ever had in baseball. So basically, all the passed over players after the 5-round draft, and they said you could not negotiate at all up until, I think, at 8 in the morning.
The next day, Sunday.
You could call.
Right.
And I was in it was a couple of days later. It gave us a couple of days.
Yeah, Friday was the draft. Yeah. Sunday you could call.
So I just remember being at my in-laws in St. Louis. I had driven down there, and I was on the phone walking around their backyard for like 12 consecutive hours, like nonstop on the phone, just pitching people. And he was our number one guy.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I called him. We had like probably 4 or 5 people that had a list of like 10 or 15 each. And he was the first guy on my list. He was the first call I made. And we pushed him really hard. That was a good one. And it's great because I thought we had a great process. We signed a bunch of good players through that. We had a really good process. It's nice that it was rewarded with a guy like him.
He had an Excel spreadsheet of every team and salaries and depth. I was like, that guy's sharp.
Yeah, 100%.
Jez, thanks for stopping by, man. Have a great season.
We appreciate you.
Always. Thank you, fellas.
You're the best.
All right.
Jed Hoyer from the Chicago Cubs with us here from Old Crow Smokehouse at Wrigleyville. We'll react to what Jed had to say and get your reaction. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. It's finally baseball season. Both teams are in action today as the Cubs take on the Brewers here at Wrigley Field at 120. Marcus Stroman will get the start for the Cubs against Corbin Burns for Milwaukee. The White Sox will take on the Houston Astros. You hear that game? 5:30 pregame right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Dylan Cease will take the hill for the White Sox. History was made last night with Major League Baseball and the MLBPA reaching an agreement on a 5-year collective bargaining agreement with minor league baseball players at all levels. The Bulls dropped their second straight last night, 121-110 to the Lakers. Anthony Davis had 38 points. LeBron James at 25 for the Bulls. Vucevic led the way for the Bulls with 29 points. DeRozan at 22. The Bulls will play the Charlotte Hornets next. Jay Moore.
You are listening to Cap and Jay Hood live from the North Side. You should be at Old Crow Smokehouse on Clark. It's opening day. If you really can't, check it out on twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Opening day, the Miller Lite Way on ESPN Chicago.
Broadcasting live from Old Crow Smokehouse here in Wrigleyville. It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and also streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch our shows and all the shows on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Not only it's our show, but also Carmen and Yurko, they'll be here as well between 10 and 2, and then it'll be Waddle and Peggy from 2 to 5:30 leading you into White Sox baseball as the Sox take on the world champion Astros right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Interesting conversation with Jed Hoyer.
Yeah.
Jed Hoyer, I believe, without saying it, feels how I feel and possibly how you feel about the Cubs. They're on the precipice of doing something. This is just the moves that they've made by being able to have Swanson and Tyone and Mancini, Bellinger on this team and others. To spend the money that they spent in free agency, $300 million, they are on their way to doing something special. It's just not this year. He knows that St. Louis is the class of the National League Central. He also gave the Brewers their props as well because of the starting pitching they have. But I believe that he sees the beginning of something for the Cubs.
Agreed.
Fair?
Fair. Okay. Well said. He said, we're on the front edge of some really good times here.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be performances that will surprise you, like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. There will be performances you expect that you won't get that will disappoint you. That's baseball. There will be injuries that happen. You're like, oh, God, I didn't see that coming. They know they have a process of, they don't have a Chris Bryant. They don't have guys, you know, they were the number one farm system in 14 going into 15 with all the guys they had. They don't have that, but they've got depth. They've got a lot of good players. And that's why I asked him, if the right guy's there, and you know who I'm talking about,
yeah,
he plays for the Angels.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, we've kept some of our powder dry because if we need to add a number one starter, we would like to have a little more thump in our lineup. I can give you one guy. I can't say it to him because he can't respond.
It's tampering.
That's
yeah.
the rules.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani checks every flipping box for the Chicago Cubs. He just does.
Yeah.
You need a top of the rotation starter? I got a guy for you. You need more thump in your lineup? I got a guy for you. Oh, you need a guy that's marketable? I got a guy for you. I'm telling you, don't count them out on that guy.
All
they
right.
may not get him, but they have the money to do it.
Well, let me ask you this. So if you're close, you feel like the Cubs might be closer than I do as far as the one-loss record. You feel like they'll be in the mix with Milwaukee. If St. Louis is the top, you think the Cubs are over 80 wins this year?
I have them at 82-80.
Okay, that might be good. Might be, depending on what Milwaukee does, because I think they're going to take a step back too. If they're close, are you going forward to try to make the team better for a playoff push? Or do you hold your cards and say, we got to be in the Ohtani sweepstakes? Because you may have to spend money in that too.
Well, what
at the deadline.
My question is, if at the deadline you feel like might get there on a wild card, I'm not giving up any of my top prospect equity to go get a setup guy because I need another bullpen. Now, if you said there's a guy, he's got 3 years left on his deal, it's big money, but he's a hell of a player, and he is a guy that you look for and go, he can help us now, but we got him for 3 more years, yeah, then they have the prospect capital to make a deal like that.
I just wonder what the philosophy would be. If the Cardinals, and I believe the Cardinals will be the best, I mean...
Now, my guy Gordon Whitmire says the Brewers are winning the division.
No shot. That's a no shot.
They got the top two starters in the National League Central, without a doubt. Burns and Woodruff, today, that can change.
I'm just telling you, like...
Today, they're great.
Montgomery and Flaherty and Michaelis, not bad.
Pretty good.
Okay, so then we're talking about Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Contreras, Tyler O'Neill. Pretty good lineup for St. Louis.
Very.
And you can always expect them to be able to be, when you get to the deadline, they'll make the right moves. They're usually fundamentally sound. I think that they're, again, going to be the best in the National League Central. From Milwaukee's standpoint, I think the Brewers are going to be good. Again, top starters for sure. Do they have enough punch offensively? That's my question, and I don't know the answer to that.
My question, if I could ever talk to, I think it's Mark Attanasio, the owner of the Brewers. Every year, They have good players.
Yeah.
Why have they never pushed their chips in? Every year here, they got a really good system and they got a good team. Why are they never, ever taking the shot and going, we're going for it this year? Put the chips in the middle. They never do it.
Market.
At some point, you owe it to your fan base to say, we're going to take a shot here.
Yep. And by the way, if I'm the Brewers, I do that now, because if Aaron Rodgers indeed is leaving, you might be the biggest attraction there in that town.
Other than Giannis.
Ah. He'll be gone too.
Here's my other question.
Yeah.
Corbin Burns is the best pitcher in the National League.
Yeah.
He won the Cy Young. He's a beast. Jacob DeGrom, he plays for the Rangers now. Corbin Burns is probably the best pitcher today in the National League. Scherzer, Verlander, they're older. They're also awesome. I get it. You went to arbitration with him over $950,000. Why are you ticking off the best player on your team, a guy who's got one more year after this and then is going to free agency? And when I talked with Todd Rosniak, who's their beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel,
yeah,
he said that I don't see any scenario where he's signing to stay here. He's that upset and that mad. He feels disrespected. If you told me he was asking for $20 million and the Brewers offer is at $8 million, okay, we got a gulf here. $950,000 to a major league team, and you're going to piss off the best pitcher in the league?
That's just
bad management, in my opinion.
I would not do that, especially when I know I'm going to be top three every year. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh aren't going anywhere, so I just know I'll always have a chance. If I'm better than the Cubs, I'll be in the wild card. Because, again, St. Louis is at the top. Or if Milwaukee gets off to a – and jettisons up there to be the best team in the National League Central, mm-hmm. I'd spend what I could to maintain my status as a perennial playoff team if I could. Let me ask you this also about the Cubs. So – if you had your druthers, you go in Boxberger or Hoyer as your closer. Got to have that, right? In the back of the bullpen.
Right.
So Hoyer could be the guy. I think he's got that kind of stuff.
He does. Now, he's not ready yet coming off the Tommy John.
Yeah.
So it's either going to be one of three guys that he'll run out there. Brad Boxberger, Brandon Hughes, a lefty, yeah, who has, you know, been fine for the Cubs. And why am I banking on the third guy? There's a Michael Fulmer, mm-hmm, the guy they got from the Tigers. Take that, Shay.
As long as it's not Carson Fulmer, you're good.
Correct. He was off.
Bust.
And that gives them, you know, three solid guys. They're going to get Cody Hoyer back. And if he's healthy off the Tommy John, he's a plus fastball guy, upper 90s.
Yeah.
That gives you more depth. I like what they've done in their pitching staff. I just don't know if the Cubs have enough offense. That's my concern.
I think that, as I mentioned before, if wisdom is the source of your offense, that's a problem.
But if Say is back.
When?
I'm guessing Say.
You heard what he said.
Yeah.
What Jed said.
He said he's getting closer.
Yeah.
I don't see them bringing him back when the temperatures are 38 degrees, 40 degrees, with a wind chill in the high 20s. That's just silly.
Yeah,
because if he hurts his oblique again, well, then you're done for 2 to 3 months. I think you'll see this kid in May, and then let's go.
All right, you see on my yellow pad here, I've got four spots.
You write like a doctor.
Well, it's only for me to read.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. It's not for you to be keeping your beak in it. This is my pad.
I can't see it.
Exactly right. So I have written here four pillars. I have slots for four pillars, mm-hmm, for the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So let me start writing them in here for 2023.
Okay.
The pillars for the Cubs are...
Dansby Swanson.
Swanson.
Nico Horner.
Horner.
Seiya Suzuki.
Suzuki.
And I don't know.
You need a fourth pillar.
I mean, Ian Happ should be a good player, but he's not locked up beyond this year. So you can't call him a pillar until you know he's part of your future.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Bellinger's on a one-year deal. You don't know if he's part of your future. I guess... my other one would probably be the guy who I think is the best pitcher in their rotation is Justin Steele.
Yes.
And they have good pitching. Stroman's going today. Very good. Tyon, very good. Everyone would like to have those guys.
Cap, plant Steele. The flag, man.
Huh?
Plant your flag. Say the other pillar's Ohtani. You said he's a Cub, right? Done deal.
I did not say done deal, but I said that's the guy you got to – you have to target him.
Oh, you said Saya was recruiting him. It's over. Plant the flag. He's the pillar.
He could, if you get Shohei Ohtani, then you're trying to win the World Series next year. Then you've taken the next flippant step. Pete Carl Armstrong is probably going to be your center fielder, if not in September, next year. Matt Mervis is probably going to be your first baseman. Nico, Dansby Swanson, Shohei Ohtani.
Well,
let's go.
All I know is this with Ohtani, okay? So I think that that'd be awesome. And, I'm not going to laugh at you when it comes to Ohtani because in years past we'd say, watch out, Yankees definitely going to get that guy. Watch out, Yankees. Yankees are just as average a ball club as anyone else as far as getting the big names. They're just a kind of middling franchise to me. They might win the American League East. More likely they will. But what have they really done?
They kept their own guy in Judge, but you don't see them playing in the deepest end of the pool going to get Trey Turner or any of those guys.
Tell you one thing. This Steinbrenner is not George.
No.
By no stretch. Because I would guarantee if George was around, Ohtani would be a Yankee. But now, because the Yankees, as you mentioned, don't swim in the deep end of the pool anymore, now maybe with the Cubs. Maybe. And it's if not the Cubs, then it's the Dodgers.
Right.
If not the Dodgers, the Mets.
Right? Look, Steve Cohen's not going to be outbid if there's a guy he wants.
Yeah.
My point is the Cubs have the revenue streams now. They got their sports book. They got their Gallagher way. They got their renovated ballpark. They got all of this. And they got payroll flexibility. Jed just told us that. If you make a great offer to Shohei and he chooses to go somewhere else, there's nothing you could do about that. I just don't want to hear, well, that's just, we can't afford that. We're not the Royals.
Well, you're not an Ohtani away. You got more than that. If he came to the Cubs, you still got a lot of holes to fill. And that's that push and pull of young players and veteran players and how they can mesh. We'll see. We have the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day right around the corner. We'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko coming up at the top of the hour as we broadcast live from Old Crow Smokehouse in Wrigleyville. Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports.
This is the opening day live broadcast from Old Crow Smokehouse in Wrigleyville, presented by Miller Lite. Watch the show on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
You said it so quietly.
Well, Jed's giving you fine $2 for the coughing.
Yeah, he had two.
Yes.
And you went, that's fine. It's like, Mike, I hope he does not miss a trick.
No, absolutely not. You can't be coughing on our show.
Does not miss a trick.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 is streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app, which you can hear. You know, it's Thursday, so you know what that means.
That means it's good karma. Wrestling on the ESPN 1000 Twitter feed.
That's
hosted
exactly
by
right.
You.
That's exactly right. We're going to have fun. Tune in at 6 o'clock at ESPN 1000 on Twitter and on Twitch, twitch.tv/GoodKarmaWrestling. Our special guest, Rey Mysterio, who will be part of WrestleMania. We'll have Rey Mysterio as a special guest. So if you're a wrestling fan and know of one, tune in. And the podcast is available, by the way, on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click Good Karma Wrestling. All right, my friend, we're going to have the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day momentarily. Shay, let's look at the White Sox as a team that's going to, should take, as I mentioned last year, another step. But it all depends on the health. If I told you I can roll Cease, Lynn, Giolito, Clevenger, and Kopech, I should stay in ball games with the starting pitching. I mentioned the least interesting facet of the Sox is Grafal. I just want to how healthy this team's going to be, number one. And number two, if the Sox are not contending, by the time we get to the trade deadline, Giolito out. Walkier out.
Well, unless you're going to re-sign him, that's the question.
Well, that shouldn't happen.
He went from he pitched at 280. 280 last year. He's now 245.
I still can't believe that number. At 280
I read
pounds.
That in Darryl Van Scowen's column in the Sun-Times one day, his article. And I immediately called my guy Ryan McGuffey, head of White Sox content over at NBC Sports Chicago. I'm like, dude, this has got to be a mistake, a typo. There's no way. He's like, no, it's true. And then Garfine asked him, Chuck Garfine. And he said, yeah, I tried to bulk
280.
Up. 280. Now he's 245. He lost 35 pounds, and he feels better. No blank.
If you're not contending, Cap. As I mentioned to you this winter, I don't think the Sox made enough changes. It has a 2019 Cubs vibe to me, where you said, okay, we can part with Abreu. What about some of these other guys that have underachieved on this ball club?
This is their last shot. If they don't look like they're taking another step with Robert and Moncada and Anderson, they spent money on Benintendi, that's where it's at.
Now time for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse, David Flom, Matt Moore, their dining creation, LaSalle and the River.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
I'm out.
And by the way, see this bill? You take care of that. Good night.
That was my first day with my wife.
You stuck Mindy with the bill?
Yeah.
What a jack.
We made a bet. We made a bet on the Cubs. I met her at Wrigley. And she lost. So she took me to dinner. We went to dinner. The check came. They set it down in front of me, and I slid it right across the table. I go, oh, give it to me. It's on you, sweetheart. You lost the bet. Then I didn't call her for 6 months. Now we've been married. It'll be 19 years.
That's right.
No, the funny thing is, a year later, or 6 months later, I walked into the skybox at Wrigley. She was in there. She's like, oh, your phone break? Because I had said to her, hey, you want to grab sushi next week? And then never called.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But here it is. It's a love story. It worked out.
It is a love story on Lifetime.
Take that,
but
Shay.
It is a love story.
And that's all, folks.
Let's see. Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Go for the champagne vinaigrette dressing on the lobster salad. Nice light lunch. Wisniewski bacon on the side. Awesome.
Of course, he'll be renamed Wisniewski bacon if he's any good.
Hayden Wisniewski bacon at Chicago Cut.
Yes.
How about that?
And what about that ass hat? Now, he should be pretty good for you. He should.
Assad.
Huh?
Javier Assad. Not Assad. Assad.
I'm just reading the back of the uniform. It's what it looked like to me, Assad.
Wow. This guy, man.
What did I say wrong?
Javier Assad.
Shay, what do you think? If you had a win total, Sox wise, do you agree with me? It's just about health.
Sox, I would. So Sox 82.5. I think I go over. I'm very sorry to say, Kaplan, Cubs, I already bet the under.
God bless you. You're a hater. What can I tell you?
78? What was it? 76?
77.5, I bet the under.
Okay. Because he's not a hater because your team's not ready to win yet.
Just wait till McClanahan sticks it up your keister today.
McClanahan! You're not ready to win yet. You're the Bears.
The Rays. Here come the Rays. They're going to just leave tire marks all over Shea today.
I think that he's got it right, though. But I don't know what that really means. Like, if the Sox underachieve, if you get to the deadline and you're still underachieving, it's time to unplug. I don't mean tank. I'm just saying some of these guys you should be able to get some young assets for. Fair or no?
Fair. Fair.
Because where's the ball club going otherwise, right? Anderson and Robert are the strength of the team. I expect them to have tremendous stolen bases. Anderson is the MVP of the Sox.
What about Jimenez? I think he might lead the league in homers this year.
Is he all right being the full-time DH?
He's going to be DH probably 95% of the time.
No, he's belly-aching about that. He doesn't like that.
He
but
likes
I mean,
playing the field.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. I mean, you are a minus player defensively. Swing the bat. You're the DH. It's the way it should be.
Yeah, I think a smart bet, and I'm going to bet it right now, Eloy Jimenez to lead the league in home runs.
We thank Miller Lite, and we thank Old Crow Smokehouse for having us here on ESPN 1000. Thank you, JC. Thank you, Jay Moore. And thank you, Shay Norling. Cap, let's do this tomorrow at 7.
Back in the studio, baby.
All right, for our entire crew here at Old Crow Smokehouse, it's Cap and Jay Hood. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 7. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Wrigleyville.